Move over, Duke Ellington. We're taking the A train on Amigos. Everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And who's that man behind us, Aaron?
That's the guy driving the A-Train boat. Get out of here, geek.
Well, you know, we are talking about A-Train this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Aaron, when it comes to train travel, would you rather go by car, go by boat, or go by train if you could travel in the utmost luxury?
Well, probably boat, if I'm honest. Because listen, train looks good. I like the... But I was on a boat. We went to Fort Sumter, right?
And where is that?
It's off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina, right? And it took us on a boat out there, right? And it was so relaxing to be on this boat. Teresa and Luke fell asleep both ways and on the way
out
there.
So it was like a ferry?
Sort of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have your car with it, so it's just sort of like a commuter boat, I guess, would be a better way to put it.
A ferry.
Well, I mean, everything's a ferry, technically. You're ferrying suckers from one place to another. I don't know if there's a boat style of a ferry.
A ferry is like a water taxi.
Had tons of people on it, too. I don't know if that means anything.
Okay.
But it was great. And I told her, I was like, you know, this would be a great way to travel around, you know, and... Everyone takes all these cruises and stuff. I don't know if I want to be on a boat with like a million other people.
Right.
But like, it was just like, if you said the ultimate comfort, right?
Sure.
That's me on the boat with select few people.
Yeah. So if you could take a cruise with like a dozen people that you liked.
That's right. And then get some of that yacht rock going, the good stuff, you know? Pina Colada song, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Brandy.
And that's where you break out the live action vampire.
No, that's not where you do that. What? While there.
Yeah, just think
how
about...
How well do you think a vampire would do on an assault ocean?
Think about the chud just opening the door and
I didn't
four
say chud would be one of the dozen.
What?
It'd
I can't
be
believe you'd lock out the
and,
chud.
And 11 hot chicks would be on the boat. That's my... They'd be... You know, I watched a show on MST. It's called Double 007. It stars 007's brother. You know, yeah, it's Sean Connery's brother's in it.
Okay.
He plays the 007.
Really?
But the bad guy in it... has an all-chick staff on his boat. That's who I want. They had these out navy, like, cute navy girl outfits. Mm-hmm. And this guy's this big, tubby, old, got a big cigar, and he walks out in his dumb outfit, and they're all over him. They'd be like that. That's how I envision it. They'd be singing, and they'd be hoisting the thing. You know, that'd be great. That's the way I'd do it. What about you?
I've got to say boat, too. Okay, there's a reason.
Of course you do. You're a boat.
That's true. But there's a reason why whenever you get any amount of money when you're a sports star or music star, you always buy a yacht.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that's the way to go.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
the way to go.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
Because you're living in ultimate luxury, comfort, convenience, but you can also go wherever in the world you want.
Yeah, good point. I ain't thought about getting somewhere. I was just not driving the thing in circles, basically.
Right.
Where would you go in your yacht, boat?
Oh, I'd go everywhere. I'd go. First thing I'd do is I'd cross the Atlantic, right?
Yeah. In a yacht? Can you go that far?
There's definitely transatlantic yachts.
Okay.
Okay, so you go. I mean, remember, this is like the ultimate yacht.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So then what you do is you go right on down to Spain, the Mediterranean.
That would be nice.
Somewhere warm, that's right. And then you exit the yacht, you go and you gallivant about, and then when you get tired, you just go back on the yacht and you go somewhere else.
I would like to tour the coast of Italy.
Yeah.
You know, and see all the historic elements. That would be cool. You know, right off Italy, in one of the battles in ancient Rome, like, allegedly, a million guys drowned in a big storm. A million guys.
That's a large amount of people.
That's what they say.
What were they all doing? Just lined up on the coast?
Well, Romans weren't the best sailors. And there was a big storm. And it was a big. They were gearing up for a big battle. They were going to have a big land invasion.
Right.
Bam. All of them died.
Wow.
So I'd get to go see where that's at and see if I can make it, you know. It seems like you should be walking
You could get one over on the Romans, then.
Well, there you go. And you drive right over. But, yeah, a boat would be fun to have. The problem with a boat is, like, when you buy them, they tell me this, like, my buddies. Like, the second you buy them, like, they lose half their value.
Oh, yeah.
They're worse than cars.
Well, you know what boat stands for, don't you?
It stands for something?
Bust out another thousand.
That should be your moniker. Like, whenever you show up.
Yeah.
Just to get you to come to the house. Bust out another thousand, because here comes boat.
Well, Aaron, I'm glad we're doing all this boat talk, because that leads us right into A-Train.
What a jazzy little number there, boat.
You know, it's appropriate, Aaron, that they play a little jazz at the beginning, because as I alluded at the beginning of the show, A-Train is a specific train. It's not just any train, although you might think that.
That's
since it does
I thought.
Have the indefinite article and all that.
Yeah.
But the A-Train is a specific New York line that takes you up to Harlem.
Yeah.
And this song was immortalized in a tune by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn called Take the A-Train. And it goes a little something like this. You must take the A-Train to go to Sugar Hill way up in Harlem. And it goes on and it tells you all about the things that you'll see on the A-Train.
You know, was it Duke Ellington? It was Duke Ellington that was in Blazing Saddles, right? When they're going across the desert and that song's playing and Duke Ellington and his band is sitting out in the
desert? I'm sure it is. Yeah.
He was immortalized, but to me anyway. You've never seen Blazing Saddles, have you?
No.
Oh, man. Let's just move on. So, A-Train. Now, listen. This game is a complex triple game with a huge manual, right?
140 pages.
And guess what else? Not only is it a huge, complex affair, but even its background is large, complex, and confusing.
Much like yourself.
That's true. Except you couldn't fill my life with it. You could put it in a pamphlet. Hmm. So, A-Train, released on the Amiga, 1992, published by everyone's friend, The Ocean, and developed by Art Dink. This is Art Dink's only effort.
Boy, if you're going to name your company something... Are you going to go with Art Dink?
Well, I think there may be some loss of translation there. It was actually developed by Art Dink, but it was under the Maxis banner, if you will, Maxis. And even Maxis didn't do the conversion of this. The conversion was done by this outfit called the Dreamers Guild.
That's pretty good. I like them.
The Dreamers Guild that worked on this, they were comprised of a fellow named Joe Pierce, worked on a game called Quest for the Orb. The programming was done by Walter Hotzbuchner, and the artwork was done by David Joyner, who worked on the aforementioned Quest.
Oh, and, David Joyner. We just talked about him.
Well, yeah. He also worked on Fairy Tale Adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Yeah. That these two games would be back-to-back.
Bingo.
That's unbelievable.
Well, one would wonder if Fairy Tale Adventure wasn't also sort of a mass conversion from something else. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't think it was Amiga... was this first?
Well, it's totally dead. I mean, Fairy Tale Adventure was an original game by David Joyner.
Right, but I'm saying I don't know if he was started on the Amiga or the ST. I don't know where it started. I can't recall.
Oh, but I mean, it wasn't as if you're not implying that this was originally a PC-88 game.
I'm implying is this guy probably could work in multiple.
Absolutely.
In multiple, computers to do this stuff.
Genius.
And the music, Matt Nathan, who also worked on a game, I think me and Brick Cover called Darkseid when you were out of town one time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's funny when you look and you're like, hey, where did this get converted to? Well, that's a trick question, okay? Because not technically speaking, you had your DOS port. That was first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the Amiga port. Then you had a Mac port, mm-hmm. right? Your Mac. And then eventually iOS and some other crap. But if you look at Wiki or something, you'll see like the Fujitsu FM Towns Marty, the PC-98, the Super Nintendo, like the Genesis... Oh, this sharp. You're like, wait a minute, what is this crap? Well, there's a reason for that, because A-Train in America was actually A-Train 3.
In Japan.
In Japan, because this is a Japanese game that got converted over to for sale in the States. The game was super popular. The original A-Train 1 in Japan came out in 85 for the usual suspects of your MSXs and all this whatnot. A-Train 2 came out in 88, and A-Train 3, which is what we call A-Train, got released in the U.S. in 92, but it was released earlier than that in Japan, not much earlier. And so, I guess, I don't know how does one find these games. Don't know if a Maxis representative saw it or whatever, they thought it would work.
Well, but, to me, if I'm working for Maxis, I'm like, man, this game looks like something we do, and we don't have to do any work. Bam! We're taking it.
Well, you've got that right. Yeah, but that's probably exactly what they did. And one would wonder how many games that we know about came just from, like, somebody was like, hey, that looks cool. Sort of like Tetris or something. Just, like, worked it. But we're going to specifically talk about the American iteration of this, or the English version is a better way to put it. But this one actually did come to America, unlike a lot of Amiga stuff. So, what is A-Train? It's a complex question because this is a complex game. This is not the kind of game you sit down with and figure it out. This is a game that comes with a beefy, like it was a 140-page manual, Boat. You looked through the whole manual,
I
right?
I did.
And the manual has a lot of background because this is called A-Train, but saying this is a game where you, like, do stuff with trains would be incorrect. This is a game that involves... like a plan, it involves city planning. It involves playing stock markets. It involves like a real estate. It involves certain pathing and setting up neighborhoods in certain ways. It's more to me when I played it. And the funny thing is, I played it before I looked anything up on it. And so I thought to myself, man, this looks a lot like one of the Sim Cities. And as I got going into it, I was like, man, this is like SimCity, like that an accountant built. That's what it reminded me of. What were your initial thoughts when you boot this thing up and you start? I mean, you get options at the beginning, scenario stuff, and I started on the new town, you know, just like probably like you did. What'd you think about this thing? Like when you looked at it without, I mean, we both sort of knew ahead of time it was going to be complex.
Yeah, most of the time when we play these games, I like to be prepared.
Yeah.
I like to go in and read the manual. And know what I'm doing. But this time I was like, you know what? I'm going to play the role of the pirate scumbag here. And I'm going to load this thing up with absolutely no documentation whatsoever.
I did pirate this. So I'm sure you played me from 25 years ago.
And see how far I can get.
Yeah.
And the answer is, you can get kind of far.
Yeah.
You can get kind of far because you are granted with a goodly amount of money when you start the game. You're granted enough money that you can lay a bunch of track. You can build some structures, and you can watch the train go, okay? Now, the problem comes when you start actually thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because the first thing you notice is that when you lay, let's compare it with SimCity. When you lay down train tracks in SimCity, the train just kind of rolls along the tracks that you set down. It makes a little loop. It does whatever you want it to do. Well, game, you make your loop, and the train laughs at your loop and just passes it right on by.
Yeah.
Because you haven't discovered the whole switch minigame mechanism yet. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a game, it's a long way of saying this is a game that you absolutely 100% have to have the manual to be able to accomplish almost anything.
Yes, I agree with that. Although I really didn't consult it all that much. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I had it there, but I tried, and I... Here's the way I approach it, in a sort of similar way. I knew I had to have some instruction. So someone had typed up the opening scenario thing, you know, that's in the book, because nothing's in the program. It's all in the book. And I tried to sort of follow along, you know. We should mention right away, this on the Amiga, I think only the Amiga has this option. It gives you the option to play this in low res or high res mode. Now, I played in high res mode because I'm super cool, but there are some issues with high res mode. And the main issue for me was interacting with the map, with the actual area that you play in, was difficult. And I can't imagine what it would be like with a crappy mouse. Mm-hmm. I would use a good mouse, but you have to sort of match tracks up in certain areas. You know the little guy, when you screw up the tracks, he says, like, that's not a good place to put that. Like, that guy was, I could have had him tattooed on my forehead.
Yeah,
he was down
everywhere.
All the time. Mm-hmm. If you play in a lower res, it's a lot easier to, I mean, you don't see as much of the area, everything's chunkier, but you have better control over what you're doing.
Yeah, and so if you think about this, the way that, if you're listening on the radio, high res mode is essentially, it looks a lot like SimCity 2000.
It looks, well, I read that actually, that's where they sort of horked the whole gimmick for that game.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Versus low res mode, it's still isometric, but you're zoomed in, so you can see, you know, probably about 30 blocks at a time, and it's double that in high res mode. So if you're trying to do, like you said, if you're trying to lay track, I don't know how you can do that in high res mode.
I put it on the biggest TV and got in there, but it was tough. And you're right. So let me explain how I started this game, and then we'll talk about how you actually are supposed to play it, okay? So I knew that track placement was important, and I also knew that there was more to this game than just screwing around with trains. That much I knew. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna make a piece of track, and then what? Because you start with a certain amount of money. The first thing I did was I built some track, and then I went and bought a train to put on it. Now, there's a train to start off with, but I bought another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on my track, and it would go around the little circle I made. And then I bought some stations, and you can put stations anywhere you want. And the trains will drop off, like, the core elements, these stations, and sometimes they'll pick up.
So there's building materials, which are at the heart of this game. And then you're always going to have a train. You're always going to have at least one line that terminates and begins off screen.
Right.
Because you've got to have some way to get these materials into your town.
And assumably, off screen goes to town, too,
right,
or wherever. But so here's the funny thing that happened. So eventually, I've worked out a pretty intricate system. I was building apartment buildings and stuff. We'll get into that stuff. And I've had like maybe five or six trains in my area. I was like, man, I'm really cooking here. I mean, I had to go borrow money, you know.
Right.
At triple percent, a 3-year payment. But I had all these trains. I was like, man, I'm really going to like going on. I was watching how much money I was making. I wasn't making anything. It was ticking down. And so I looked, and eventually I just looked at it like there was nothing happening. I'm like, what's going on? I looked at all my trains. We're just in a long line on this one track because I hadn't even fooled with the scheduling stuff, the switches.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, and then that's when it dawned on me. This is going to, you're going to get in now. You've got to go and get some books to try to figure out how to get these trains, which I eventually, okay, I can get them moving again. And then after that, you just sort of like watch stuff happen and then manipulate stuff. But this is the kind of game where you're like, it's not something where you're going bananas. You can sit back and watch things happen. Now, tell everyone how the proper way to play the game is.
So, the proper way to play this game is that you're essentially figuring out, okay, I want to develop this city so I can make money. The whole point of the game is making money.
Yeah.
I think if you make something...
Oh, that's the point.
Something to the order of tens of millions of dollars, you can actually beat the game.
I think is it 50 million?
$50 million, that sounds right. And so you start out with $3 or $5 million, and your job is to increase that amount of money. So what you have to do is you have to put down a train line so the train can carry building materials from one place to wherever you're going to be developing.
Right.
Okay. The second thing that you need to do is put down a passenger line to take people to and from work every day. Okay. Then you have to develop residential areas where people live.
Right.
In this game, the only thing that you have direct control over building is apartment buildings.
Right.
Okay. Other structures will appear in this game. There are already existing structures, and then there are also the simulation will build structures as well. So you build these apartment buildings, and then the game becomes a game of figuring out what the simulation wants you to do. Because like you said, this is not a game that has a tremendous amount of direct control over your actions. This is not like SimCity, where you start with a blank canvas and you just put stuff down wherever you want it, and somehow all this stuff works together.
Right.
Okay. In this game, the only thing that you can put down is commercial structures, residential buildings, trains, a stadium, and like a theme
golf
park.
Golf course.
There's various amusement activities.
If you think about it, because I have played SimCity. If you think about it, you're right. SimCity, it's more like building blocks. Mm. This is a game that you're, in a weird way, this is more gamey because the area around your trains will grow according to how well you're doing.
Right.
And how accomplished you are. And how, do you have a factory area? Are you shipping your guys in? Are you shipping goods? Are you taking care of people's ability to move around town?
Mm-hmm.
Are you giving them something to do? Do they have somewhere to live? And as you go on, and it is neat when that stuff happens. I didn't get like a bunch of skyscrapers, but I did get some growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of satisfying. You feel like you're getting something done.
Right.
Even
though
you're not.
This is a game that requires a lot of just waiting around. In SimCity, you can move the timer up so months pass by in seconds.
Yeah.
In this game, days pass by in seconds at the fastest movement.
Yeah.
This is a game that has a day-night cycle.
Which I turned off.
And this is a game that essentially makes you wait and see.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes you wait and see. And what are you waiting for? Well, you're waiting for your population to increase, so your subsidies revenue increases. Your subsidies are how you make the money in this game. One of the ways you make money is, you know, if your factories are producing, if you're creating goods, if you're employing people. The second way is that if your trains are making money, how your trains make money, well, they take people to and from work, you collect those fares. The longer the distance between the station and their home, the more money you make. But you can't make it too long or else nobody's going to want to come to your city.
Right.
These are the considerations that you make. Now, there's a whole other thing in this game, though. If that were all the game was, this would be an okay releasable game.
Yeah.
However, there are other systems bolted onto this thing that exponentially increase the difficulty in the learning curve. Mainly, these are the property markets.
Yes.
And the stock markets, okay?
Yeah.
In this game, in order to win, in order to make enough money to win, you must invest in the property market, okay? You must invest and you must create buildings within a certain time period, and then you must raise buildings within a certain time period, and it all comes down to this game's absolutely insane tax system. Because in this game, no matter what you do, all of your earnings are taxed 50% all the time. Okay, it's extremely hard to make money when your earnings are taxed 50%.
Where's the loopholes?
Yeah.
Where's the loopholes we expect?
And so that's the thing. Part of this game is learning how to commit tax fraud. And so what you'll do is you'll build a big building, you'll make a bunch of money, and then the day before the tax man comes, you hit the bulldoze button, bam, it's gone. You can't tax me on that. Okay, then there's also the stock market. You're investing in the stock market. This market's climbing up and up and up. You're making money. Well, guess what? You're being taxed on all that money. So you have to find the right time to sell, but you can't wait for too long or else the market will crash and you'll lose all your principal. So all these things are happening at once, and that's what makes A-Train a much, much more than just a train simulation game.
It's funny because, like, I got to the point. Now, like Boat says, every day passes in this game. There's a day-night cycle, which I turned off because it got annoying. But there's also seasons, the whole nine yards. But you go through, like, so the tax stuff, I had no idea, okay? And so I played this for a good while. A couple times I'd save my game, come back to it. And I thought, man, my growth's anemic, and I'm probably not going to pay the bank back, but I am making money. I felt pretty good. Stuff was happening. And then something happened, and the game was over. And I'm like, wait a minute. It said, you're broke. I'm like, what happened? Well, what I didn't know was, I didn't have any idea about the tax thing.
The tax
didn't
man
read
game.
It. I finally saw it in a video where a guy mentioned that about the tax thing. I'm like, that's got to be what
and
it
that's,
was.
And that's how you lose in this game.
Yeah.
If you go bankrupt, it's game over, and you have to start from the beginning.
Yeah, that's demoralizing. Mm-hmm. Although my city was so anemic that it wasn't like a complete disaster when I first started. But if you had a game that just was playing the real estate market, like, that can almost be a game, too.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market in this, I tried to play it early. I thought, maybe if I can get in early on some of this stuff. But, I mean, it's hard to get.
It's just like the real market. It's like catching a falling knife.
Yeah. And I've never heard that before. But, yes, that's exactly what it is. The real estate market, this is hard to understand because you can, when you build stuff, the market will fluctuate around that area. And so the manual suggests it's building a station and then building stuff around the station. People come to the station, you know? And
but
I
you
did
can't,
that.
But you can't build behind the station because that's where the roads are going to start.
Right, right.
And
which
so,
are the roads are a whole different thing because you don't put down the roads.
Right.
You have nothing to do
the
with the roads.
The simulation builds the roads.
What do you think about, I mean, because you were a big SimCity guy. You've played SimCity 2000 a bunch of times, I'm sure. And this obviously gets compared to that somewhat because of the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the game progress of this versus a SimCity? I mean, this does give you some visible progression that you're not doing. But on the flip side, you're not controlling what's happening to your town.
Right.
What do you think? So it's more like window dressing. What do you think about that?
Well, I hate seating control. Because to me, video games are one big power fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's letting me do stuff that I can't do in real life.
That's what games are to you, a big power fantasy?
Absolutely. All of my favorite video games are me being an awesome BA guy, okay?
Yeah.
So in this game, you are not that guy. You're the guy that has limited power, that's at the mercy of the tax man, that's always got, you know, money problems. That sounds like my real life. That's not why I come to the show. you know?
Yeah, I understand what you mean there.
So this game is for the type of person that really wants to get in there and really enjoys sort of figuring out what makes the system tick. Because to master this game, you have to figure out what the game wants you to do to a very minute degree.
Yeah.
And that includes where do you build your buildings, how far apart do you put your stations. All of those things are absolutely integral. But then you've also got to figure out, and it's not just like playing the game, like playing the stock market or playing the real estate game. In order to win, you have to understand how it works at the bare metal level.
Yeah.
And this is, we both of us watched this video game of this guy that had beaten the game. And he goes into great detail about how you can be doing so, so well, but if you miss one opportunity to sell some rental property, that one tax loss harvesting event that you missed will totally wipe you out, and it's game over.
And the thing is, this is my usual disclaimer when we play a game like this. There's a 0% chance you could get this game figured out in a week. There's a zero. It's just one of those games.
Well, you can understand it in broad strokes, but yeah, There's no way you can master it.
Or be good at it.
Or be good at it, yeah.
So, again, this is one where you're like, when we say this is a review, take it with a grain of salt. This is just a one-week appraisal. But, I mean, we've barely touched on stuff that you barely touched on that's super important. Train schedules, mm-hmm, switches,
yep, yep.
The little things. What kind of train?
Mm-hmm.
How fast?
Right. And so let's talk about all those things now. So not only do you have to place your trains on the track, but you have to decide what direction your trains are going to travel in. You'll have to decide what loop they're going to make. And then you have to decide the timetable. Okay. Does this sound like fun to you? If not, play a different game.
It's hard to even figure the timetables. I mean, I couldn't figure out what was going on half the time.
There are about 50 trains in this game.
Yeah.
Okay. There's like 20 freight trains and 20 passenger trains. They each have different statistics. They each have different capacities. You've got to figure out which one to use. Now, the manual, to its credit, does say, hey, this is actually the trains that you probably want to buy. So I was grateful to the manual for that. The tutorial in the manual.
It's got a big section on the train.
Yeah, the tutorial in the manual is actually very well written. So I was able to understand mostly from the tutorial, which is 29 pages. Now, the problem is that if you're trying to do things creatively, this is where you run into problems, because if you don't follow exactly what you're supposed to do, you're not going to be able to succeed.
This ain't that kind of game.
And again, when I play a game from Maxis, that's what I want. I want a certain amount of creativity to build the city, the railroad, the ant farm, the hospital of my dreams.
I will say this, though. Because this came out, SimCity had been out, this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
SimCity 2000 comes out after. This is in between, okay?
Right.
And this came out, this is the contemporary of like Sim Earth and Sim Ant and that mm-hmm. stuff. If you've played the crap out of SimCity and you're thinking to yourself, man, what's next? I really want a challenge here. And you got off on the planning portion of that, not the necessarily the artistic side.
Right.
This is a game you could probably like sink your teeth into,
yes,
like a T-bone steak.
100%.
But you're right. Artistically, I mean, you have some control where you lay down your tracks and whatnot. And even that is, I mean,
there's
you've
lots
be
of places
super,
where you can't build.
You've got to be super careful where you lay them down.
Yeah, and of course, because they're railroad tracks and not roads, you can't have wacky curves,
right,
or anything.
You have and like I said, that was the problem. That gets tedious.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely try to play this on like the lower res. But when you lay the trains out, and you do have a certain, like, you could say, okay, I want this to be like my factory. You have to do this. This is going to be where my factories are at. This is going to be where my downtown is. This is going to be where my parts are. But you can't get intricate with it.
Right.
Because the rest of it, once you lay that track down and kind of put your stuff down, when you're out of place to put stuff, unless you bulldoze it, there you go.
Yeah.
And then the game will decide what happens
now,
at that point.
Here's, if this, to me, it's simple, okay? If this game would jettison the real estate and jettison the stock market, and make it purely a population / consumer goods / construction materials growth game, then I would find it much more enjoyable. Because in a way, if you are going to give up control and you have something pleasant to look at, like I said, the day-night cycle, you've got the different changing seasons, We've got a bunch of different music in this game. There's a bunch of different 25-second loops that play over the course of the game.
I turned the music off.
Well, some of them are better than others.
Yeah,
but I mean, this
I don't
is
like jazz.
It is what it is. But this is a game.
It sounds like PC music.
Like the old MT32 in action,
and that's no good. Yeah. I mean, if you don't, I mean, the music sort of suits the feeling of the game, but it's not that. Crummy.
But it does kind of have that same sort of, you know, just kind of wind it up and see what it does type feel to it. And I can get behind that. But the problem is it's not a wind it up and see how it feels, because you're constantly manipulating the other aspects of the game that aren't directly related to the city and the train.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the game aside. Let's talk about what they use for interface in this game. Now, I will say, when you think about a game that's as complex as we've just talked about, and you think about the year it came out, you might think to yourself, oh boy, this is a recipe for an interface disaster. Mm-hmm. I will give them 100% credit. For the most part, I like the interface.
Yeah.
You could get around. Everything was, I mean, of course, you're going in the land of little pictures, but the little pictures, you figure it out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. That looks like a train. That looks like some track. That looks like a stock market thing. You can go through them, and for the most part, I thought they did a good job. If you consider the amount of information wrangling that had to be done here, the amount of pull-down menus, the amount of pop-up this and figures and banks and loans and the way they've got it all done, I thought they had done a sterling job given
100%.
The time period.
And the thing is, too, and the reason why is because, A, this game is Japanese.
Yeah.
That makes it better.
Okay.
And
why would
B, seriously,
you were just killing it 2 seconds ago.
This is the third iteration of A-Train. So they had time to work out the interface kinks.
Yeah.
Because this was a game that was developed on micros for micros. But it went through the MSX and the next thing, and now it's on the PC-88. And so when it arrives on the Amiga, it's already polished more than a game that... like SimCity is such an enigma, because they nailed that interface right off the bat. It's an excellent example of interface design. So hats off to SimCity. But, I mean, this is a game that was refined. This is the third iteration.
And I will say that in high res, I love the menus. They're always there. They're omnipresent. The only things I didn't like... I played this on the Mister, but it's still... I mean, there were areas that occasionally it would still sort of chug along. And also, I didn't like... the screen, moving the screen around the arrow was cumbersome.
Well, you can use the cursor keys to do that.
Oh,
too.
Really?
If you're not playing Wedge Life Mister, a second class citizen.
Oh, listen to me. Are you kidding me? I could plug any keyboard into that, you numbskull.
But then you don't even need the Wedge.
But I could have put a bigger keyboard in it and just had a bigger case. I don't want that. Haven't you seen the Amiga 600? They got rid of that dud. No one's using that dud anymore. Are you a banker? I don't think so, brother. So, anyway, getting back to this, I didn't like dragging the screen around with the mouse. You can even get like a from the blimp view of your entire land, which is nice. And so I was down with the interface. I was really, that was the most surprising thing to me, that they could actually make an interface. Because, I mean, one thing I could say about the game, if you said, Aaron, go check on your bank loan, I could go there.
Yeah,
if you said, Aaron, what's the real estate market? I could go there. If they say, if you were like, hey, what's the stock market doing? I could go there. I could find a specific stock. I could see, and it had a history of what the stock was doing. It was very well thought out and well organized, and that's impressive.
Yes,
you could save your state. You could have multiple game saves. You've got the different scenarios there, and that stuff was all quite nice. So I've got nothing bad to say about the interface. Now, you probably heard this, boat, or maybe I don't know if you even fooled with it. I didn't fool with it, but I should mention it. This thing actually had a add-on for it that would let you. Basically, it was a map construction kit that would let you go through and sort of SimCity this up a bit more.
Right.
What do you think about that? Would that? I guess you didn't. I said we didn't cover that. I didn't cover it, but this, I mean, I looked at it. Yeah. You think this would make it more fun for
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I didn't play around with this either.
Yeah.
But this would be something that I would love, because one thing that this game lacks is the true blank slate. You never start with this a completely blank canvas in this game, and with a creator, you can do that. So I would have definitely messed around with that. And plus, anytime that you include something like that in your game, you add hours and hours and hours of playtime, and so you're making this a really great value for money.
Yeah, it's called Everywhere Outside Japan. It was the A-Train Construction Set.
That's a good name.
I read more than a few people, in fact, a client covered this in OJR one time, mentioned that they use the construction set just to, like, make it, because sometimes the computer will build stuff in your map that screws you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could use this construction set to go in there and knock out the thing that screwed you.
Right.
Sometimes it'll put stuff in where you can't see what's going on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were some limitations to the isometric view that they chose. And, of course, when you have skyscraper stuff building up around your area, you're going to get stuff that you can't see. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there's no spinning the map, per
right.
se.
So
you're pretty much boned. It also mentions that there are some parts of the world where you could actually get this as a package deal. It's funny, though, because I didn't see that, and I didn't see a package part anywhere, but apparently it does exist somewhere out there. The magazines on this, on the Amiga version, were pretty supportive. They liked it pretty much. I will say, I had a look at the video for the DOS version, and I actually looked at a couple of the console versions of the, and it, because I was thinking to myself, my God, what would this be like to play on the Super Nintendo, for example?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, and I don't still have an answer for that, but I mean, it looked interesting.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you could do this on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Again, it just depends on how comfortable you are moving a mouse cursor around with the D-pad.
I wonder if it supports the SNES mouse.
I don't know.
That would be handy. This would be, because really, you're right. I mean, think about it. Most of what I did was almost all mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The magazines were pretty kind of this thing. I'm looking at the scores here. Amiga Action gave it an 84. Amiga Computing 85. Lots of mid 80s. Amiga Joker relented with a 77. Amiga Power 82. The One gave it a 75. So it got pretty good scores across the board for an average magazine rating of 83%. What do you think about that? I mean, if you consider the difficulty, the amount of time it would take to get into it, and of course, this is a game for a certain niche.
Mm-hmm.
And for that niche, it may be a 95% game.
Right.
For your average slob that was willing to learn,
mm-hmm.
I think that's, I mean, it's the learning curve is high, but it's not really a curve. It's just because this thing doesn't punish you for being dumb. It'll let you keep going. You can recover.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to say it's got a high learning curve, but it does require you to absorb a lot of information. And if you want to play the game to win, it is hard.
Yeah.
But if you want to play just to have an enjoyable time, like I enjoyed my time playing it, just to screw around.
Yeah.
It's one of those games where you can screw around and have a good time.
That's exactly. I think 83 is right about where I'd put it. Right about where I'd put it.
Did we get
now,
any?
Now, I will say, thanks to, Spinny in the chat, he mentions that they're still making A-Train. Would you like to take a guess when the last A-Train game was made?
Oh, they're making in Japan, you mean, that they're porting them over?
Exactly.
Gosh, I don't know. They were coming out pretty regularly, so I'd wait to, let's say, the last 5 years.
2021.
Bam.
Was the last
there
one.
You go.
So if you are into the A-Train scene, and I will say...
And who isn't?
That, you know, if they were able... I wouldn't be averse to trying this out. However, I'm going to go with one that's not quite so new, because this game is selling for $60 on Steam right now. I might get the A-Train 8 from, like, you know, 2004.
One would wonder... In 2021, you said they released a new
mm-hmm.
one. What are what they've done to change the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, what did they improve? I mean, you could improve the graphics. You could make the map spinnable
mm-hmm.
in 3D. That stuff's obvious. But in terms of the rest of the game, it one would wonder, and I'm sure there are some fixes in there that we'd never think of, but I mean, it's a pretty solid effort. It's
yeah.
not like they put a bunch of, like... They half-baked ideas in here. I mean, it seems like they delivered on most of what they wanted to do.
Right, right.
So who knows, right. you know.
But yeah, we did get some Discord reviews, Aaron. Our first Discord review comes from Ricky DeRocher. He says, I have a lot of memories of trying to play A-Train. Cool music and graphics, but a steep learning curve. After all these years of going back and trying, I still haven't been able to learn to play properly. I wish it wasn't so hard to get into, because I'm sure that the game itself is great once you figure out what to do. And Mobius, oh, I'm sorry, Alien Breeder says, A-Train had no shadows, beasts, monkeys, or worms, so I remember ignoring it.
Well, there you go.
And finally, Mobius68W writes, this game is another that is special to me, mostly because I love Maxis, and this is the first of their games that I got into. It might also be the last Amiga game that I bought in an actual store. I do not remember much of the gameplay, but I definitely loved it, and one of my friends would often stop by my dorm room to play this particular game. I must have loved laying down the tracks and setting up the routes. Whatever planning railroads in modern games like City Skylines or more recently Factorio, I get a strong whiff of A-Train-scented nostalgia. I think what I loved most about this game was the music, however. I do not remember it, but I was reminded of it in later Maxis games. The Sims 2 had some of my favorite music of all time, and I like to think that A-Train is part of that lineage. A-Train, Maxis at its purest, 9 out of 10.
Man, Moby's putting it over.
Yeah.
If you want to pick this up on eBay, I didn't see anything up now except for the discs. But if you want to, I saw CIB boxes routinely selling between $20 and $30. So it's
attainable.
Expensive.
Yeah,
well,
attainable.
I will say the manual, aside from the fact that it's 100% necessary, it's an interesting read.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of train terminology that they throw in there, like a lot of hobo speak.
Yeah.
They define.
We should mention that like train games are like a national obsession in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They love them. Mm-hmm. They've got lots of games where you physically drive the train.
I've almost imported one of those train driving things before.
But if you ever watch me play it,
no.
It's the most boring looking thing
ever.
That's
what I figure. I figure we'll get old pretty quick.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got all sorts of different sort of, and they're all like lever based.
Yeah, I just love the levers. That's
really. In this game, that you don't need that for this. But
yeah. I should just get one of those lever things and just move it around while I watch gameplay footage of like Shadow of the Beast.
You know, for our ultimate game, we need the Japanese to come up with a boat.
Yeah.
It's the boat version of this game.
That's
we can
right.
have a good time. But overall, Boat, your final thoughts?
This is a good one. I like this way more than I thought I would. And if you have any interest in SimCity or world-building games, then you should at least give this one a cup of coffee.
I would just say if you want to screw around with something where you ultimately like are humiliated, this is the game for you.
Are you a sketchy tech? Do you have the right tools for the job? Have there been incidents? Next time, don't try to fix it yourself. Send your broken Amiga to Retro Rewind. Get a full diagnostic, a reasonable estimate, and the peace of mind knowing that your machine is in the hands of real technicians with decades of experience and cutting-edge repair equipment. Save 10% off your repair with the promo code AMIGOS10. Thank you to RetroRewind.ca for supporting this episode.
Amiga News.
What we got, Boat?
Listen, man, sometimes the Amiga News is hopping, and sometimes it's bopping.
Uh-huh. What's it doing this week?
This week, it just sort of laid down and died to death. We only got one story this week. But it is related to everybody's favorite thing, the new Amiga computers. Aeon Technology Amiga Kit, in cooperation with A-Cube Systems, informs us that the production and subsequent testing of the A122 Plus, formerly known as the Tabor board, has been completed and can now be ordered. Now, you might ask yourself, what is this thing?
That's what I'm asking.
It's a circuit board, Aaron. It's a motherboard. It's a freaking Amiga, next-gen Amiga motherboard that fits in a mini, I think this is like a mini ITX or maybe one of those tiny, tiny boxes,
yeah.
Right? Listen, man, this thing, hang on to your wallet. €1,199 for the board. If you want the complete system, €1,500, €1,600. That's about $1,800 buckery dues. Aaron, are you on the wait list?
I'm looking at the specs here, but let's talk about these specs because we've got the time here. A Power PC CPU, the the 1022 32-bit, 1.2 gigahertz embedded dual core proc. So this means this is a not a changeable proc.
Mm.
That I would like something socketed if I'm paying this much money.
That is kind of weird.
I don't like embedded chips. Maybe that's all he could do. Don't know. But I don't like that. Embedded FPU. It's got DDR3 memory.
What are we up to now in real
life? Well, I mean, you're not going to put DDR5 in a 32-bit like board.
I probably would.
Well, no. You would blow it up. micro SD card slot. PCI Express X16 slot.
Is that like a Zorro?
No, it's a. You know what a PCI Express slot is.
But I don't
is.
Know what X16 means.
That's just me. That's the 16-bit. Trust me, it's a PCI Express slot.
Okay.
But I like this for the Radeon RX5XX. So it means that for the old Radeon graphics cards, which is what they support, DVI port out, video output, not recommended for OS 4. So I don't know. So basically, they must have adapted these or something.
So what do you? I thought OS 4 was what these things ran.
Well, I guess they could run several things. I hope the gigabit Ethernet, two of those, two SATA controllers, audio output, an RS232 serial output port for debugging. I was gonna say that's out of place. Four USB 2 ports.
Oh.
The Amiga OS 4.1 license.
Wait a minute. They just said it wasn't recommended to run OS 4 on this.
No, they said that one element was not recommended, the DVI port. Oh. Don't worry, who's using DVI anymore?
Sort of a dead format.
That's it. Enhanced software license and the ever-popular system recovery USB. Designed in the UK, crafted in Europe, distributed worldwide by AAA Technology. It's an exciting time. Listen, you mock, but we know people... The Lord, for example, the level Lord, who are into these things. There's this, they have a niche that like these new Amigas. I'd love to see this stuff like catch on fire. I just think this is the wrong direction.
Well, here's the difference. The difference between this thing and the Lord's machine.
Yeah.
The Lord's machine, when he rolls it into the door, it looks like the monolith from 2001.
Well, but
it looks awesome.
It's an older model. You could put this in that case.
No, you couldn't.
Sure, you could.
That case would spit that thing out.
No, you could put... Now, this is the newer version. The point of it is this, though.
Lord, tell him I'm right.
Here's my problem with this. Okay, you said it. The price on this thing is $18 kabillion. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now... It's super duper boutique stuff.
Right.
Okay, so there's that. So it's not for me, all right? But I'm still going to make a comment on it. And the comment is, you're paying a zillion dollars for an ancient motherboard with an ancient proc and a bunch of ancient stuff on it. You know, why can't we run, why can't we adapt this, the Amiga OS stuff to like something, run something more modern? I mean, my God, it's 2020. Four, where we're going to break out the Radeon 5X from, like, what, 2002 or whatever?
Yeah, that's about a 2002
The USB
card.
2 ports. So those, I mean, there's got to be another way. Now, I am not Dickinson. Obviously, he's a super genius. I'm an idiot commentator. I'm making an idiot comment. I'm probably going to get ripped in half when this comes out. But, and for the people that can buy this and can afford it and are into it, that's cool. Amiga, I'm down. You know, and I love the Lord's machine. It was cool. But there's no way this is going to be anything but a tiny, tiny niche ever at those prices. No one's ever investing in that at that price. You've got to get something in line. And until you do, you're going to be catering to a couple hundred people. I mean, how many people on earth are going to get this thing? In all honesty, I mean, less than 1,000?
What do you think if you're comparing... Spectrum Next Kickstarter 2 versus A1222.
Well, I mean,
next gen Amiga
they're both boutique niche products, but the Speccy was what? First of all, the Speccy was a modern machine with modern ports and a freaking price tag that was under $600. Mm-hmm. That's the difference right there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about the price.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is, if you're paying this much money for something that's ultra powerful. Then that's one thing, but you're paying for, I mean, this is ancient technology. Plus, what if the chips on this go bad? You know, then you're screwed. You have to go in there with a freaking BGA machine and pull this chip off to replace this processor if something goes wrong with it. No socketed processor? What is that? Can they not get the chip as a socketed machine? Again, not being on the inside. If I had this conversation with someone that was in the development team, they'd be ripping me to shreds. And I bow down to you. But to me, this seems like a lot of money for not much jack. You know, so I'd love to see someone explain to me. And if you read this and hear the comments, or you drop me a note, tell me, set me straight. Boat's probably about like me because what you know we don't get the price on this when it comes to the.
Yeah, I mean, I understand boutique items.
Yeah.
And I understand expensive items. But what I don't understand is if you're going to go to the trouble to manufacture an expensive boutique item, why it has to be specs from literally, like you said, 2002. That's about where this hails from.
Yeah.
So I just don't get it. That's why I want to know.
I mean, Texas Foosball or something, is it better than a modern-day budget PC running WinUAE?
Well, no. Of course not.
But I mean, the thing is, this runs modern Windows OS. Even that emulates old, it's running modern Amiga OS, and even that emulates classic Amiga. It doesn't, it's not like it's compatible. It's not totally compatible. We know that from playing on the Lord's Machine.
Right.
So it's its own thing.
Yeah.
So if it's its own thing, that's fine. But I mean, it's its own super weak machine in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, I just like to get a layman's answer for why Amiga OS 4.1 requires processors no newer than 22 years ago or 23 years
ago. And on top of everything else, how fleshed out is the support for these boards? How fleshed out is the... remember, we've heard all about the Vampire boards that came out and all this stuff. At some point, we're going to release software to turn on the SATA and to turn on the SD card. Did that ever happen? Because they made new versions. Did people get screwed? When was the last time you heard people talking about the Vampire stuff? Well, I haven't heard anything about it for a year.
Right.
You know, what happened? Is it still going on? That standalone Amiga. I mean, how many people bought those? I don't know. How are they? Are they any good? They were expensive. Like, this stuff seems to come out and just fade off into oblivion. And it's not like me and Boat aren't paying attention because we're looking for stuff. We're begging for it. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you've got information on these machines that we covered over the last 10 years that we don't know, send it in and we'll be happy to cover it. I'd love to know what happened. Yeah. I just don't know.
Yeah. And, Aaron, that's going to do it for our news this week, but we received a package in the mail.
We sure did, Boatster.
We're excited to see.
Let's have a look at this. Let's switch to a better scene here. So, this is a package. It came in the mail, Boat. This is from our... I ripped open the front here to make sure I could get in here easily. This is from our good buddy, Chris Morris, the Morrister, Boat, sent this around to us. He contacted me and you both. Now, I'm going to lift this stuff out, and I'm just going to hand it to you and have a look at it.
Okay.
I think you'll be pleased with this, Bam.
Oh, my gosh. A man after my own heart.
Tell them what you got there, both for the radio
people.
This
is Subutio for...
Say it like Phil Collins.
Subutio. And so this is...
that's not the way.
This is the Atari ST version.
That doesn't matter.
But who cares? Oh, my gosh. Look inside here. What a... This little something for old Boat.
Oh, yeah.
The Essentials.
Oh, no, that's for old both of us, pal.
So this is Everyday Essentials Milk Chocolate, the good stuff. This came from Aldi. Oh, you hate Aldi, so I've got to eat it.
I didn't say I hate Aldi. I just said I don't shop at Aldi.
Man, thank you. This is awesome.
There's also a couple more items in here, Boat. There's one thing here that's sort of folded up. I guess this wasn't that important. But here it is, Boat. I'm going to pass this over to you. I didn't do this, by the way. Here you go. Make that pretty and show that to the people.
Boy, this is an intense box here. Yeah. It's got multiple layers. Look at this guy on the front, too. Wait a minute. Something's up. This is the code wheel.
Oh, beauty. Show them the game and tell them what it is.
Well, isn't the code wheel more interesting?
No.
Okay.
Because people on the radio are dying. They're
this is Legends of Valor.
Yeah.
This is a game by U.S. Gold.
You know it's good.
And this was released for the Commodore Amiga.
There you go.
So, this is... it's got a massive A2 poster inside, limited edition. And get this. You can actually enter Mitteldorf yourself. Have your face digitized. See inside for details.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That... we got to cover that one of these days. So is that all that was in there? It's a code wheel, no...
that's
poster?
That's it. No poster. Just the code wheel in the box.
That's all right. That's all you need.
That's right.
And then lastly, I'll hold this one up, a game that we both didn't like, but by God, it's got a cool cover because it's from Psygnosis. This is from Cyclops, Ashley. It's Ballistics.
Oh, yeah.
Ballistics,
this is the game for your 13-year-old boy who's real into skulls and real into...
look what's in
skulls.
Here, Boat. You've got the manual. Look at that. Isn't that nice? It's getting written cool guy style. This is from Cyclops. And it's also got the disc in there. And what's that disc say on it, Boat?
It says Cyclops.
No, below that.
Ball sticks.
Keep going.
Atari.
Third time the charm, Boat. Boy, I fed you that one and you just couldn't take it home.
Well, I was reading in order.
That's very good. So those are great.
Man, this box, I don't know. This is like it's like one of those puzzles at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. So again, I want to see where this came from.
I figured it out.
Where from, I'm not going to say the road. It just says England. RM53E.
Don't give out the postcode,
man. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Well, this is from Chris Morris. Thank you, Chris, for sending this over. You can't really tell anything on these stamps. It's not like America.
No.
You They dropped the ball over there.
Here, let me see that. Let me see the thing. I'll tell you where it came
from.
Okay,
here you go. There you go. That could be his address on the back that we're showing over and over. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I don't know. I got nothing.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks for your expert opinion. So thank you, man. We appreciate that.
Now, this is interesting because this box looks like it should open. It's got a thing like, if you look back, Yeah, it's three layers.
Yeah.
It's sort of a puzzle wrapped in
an
enigma.
It's like a cake.
See, I think,
unlike buckle, like a gimmick, you know?
Yeah, well, it's a gimmick for sure.
You're going to destroy it. It looks like a book.
You have to destroy it to get in there. You punch it out.
That's why he sent it, because it's got a cool box.
Yeah, but if you look inside there, I think he's nude.
We could put that. No, he's covering up. It's
tasteful.
Someone took a picture of him while he's in the shower.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, dude. We appreciate that. We love getting goodies, obviously, and we love getting goodies. There's no way we're getting that in the States.
No.
That's out. Well, should we see what we're checking out next week?
Yeah, man. What's next?
Who knows, Boater dares to dream. A good dream. The winner is the Skeleton Crew.
Okay.
I've got no idea.
I've got nothing on this one.
But this was the overwhelming pick. So I don't know what this is, but now I'm sort of excited. I don't know what type of game it is. Who knows? Who knows what it is? Now, Bo, before we roll out the door this week, anything going on in the land of Boat you need to talk about?
Listen, we are in the midst of Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam 2024.
Oh, yeah, we're in the midst of it, all right.
Make sure that you record any episode of any podcast that you always wanted to make. All it takes is one. Okay, it can
original
be any
podcast.
Link.
Don't original record podcast. Someone else's show.
Upload the latest episode of the Joe Rogan podcast.
No.
And you can win fabulous prizes from Retro Rewind.
Yeah.
Other than that, this is sort of a lull. You know, we're still a couple months out from Boat Fest. And we're just sort of we're sort of in a holding pattern.
I'm thinking about doing my usual thing, backstep, and putting together a international computer
Bam.
Club.
That's just what we need to
April.
Get us through the hard
so
times.
So we may have in April, we may do one.
Okay,
it's
man.
It's right there in the middle. So if anybody's interested in a computer club, drop me a note. That's all we got, Boaster. You're taking the house.
Let's do it, man. Guys, thanks to you so much for listening. If you like the show and want to support us, patreon.com/amigospodcast. We'll see you next week. And until then,
adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/amigospodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.